Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner. And joining me, as he does every month, is the superintendent of the Maryville R2 School District, Dr. Logan Lightfoot. I want to thank you for joining me this morning. So not to say we're in like a lull, but it seems like based on, you know, everything going on this month and next month, it's kind of like more focused on the home stretch, but there are still things going on around the school district. So I kind of want to ask, you know, first off, the long-range plan update, you know, what's feedback been like, you know, since you've begun rolling this out? I know emails went out to parents, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we, Jeremy, this is, I would call it the eye of the storm. We're right in the, kind of in the middle of things, and it's a little bit calm now, but it's going to definitely pick up. But so in terms of long-range plan, yeah, we've got a lot of, in terms of our community involvement and wanting to get community feedback, we're kind of in the middle of that right now. We do have a survey that's still available to public right now. I'm going to close it at the end of April is when I'm going to close it. But we definitely want to get feedback from community members, parents, those kinds of things. Did send emails out to parents to remind them of that. We actually have a community engagement night coming up, and excited for that. The way that's going to work is we're just going to meet in our Performing Arts Center in the high school, and I'm going to open up, just talk a little bit about our process, where we've been, and answer a few kind of the burning questions that I see the most in our surveys and just talking with folks is, you know, why don't we just build a new elementary school? And that would solve lots of problems. And so I'm gonna kind of talk through why that might be a little bit tougher to do and talk about some other options. We're going to have our architect, Aaron Hardy, is going to join me that night, and he's going to talk about, from an architectural standpoint, kind of what our buildings look like, the health and safety of our buildings, and kind of, you know, what those things look like current and what those things might look like in the future. But really, kind of the back half, and I'd say the back probably two-thirds of that meeting, we want to just take a chance to get feedback from parents and community members as to what they see as should be kind of priorities for our district and for our facilities in the future.
Now, in your mind, or, you know, everyone's mind, is there any kind of buildings that you're targeting in this process?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We kind of, and really, when we started this thing back in September, October, we were wide open. And that's kind of, we did that intentionally just because we didn't want to start with something in mind and have that kind of drive our plan. But we started wide open. And so with all the things we've done with doing building scoring assessments, you know, getting our feedback from our teachers and our staff and community, and really kind of taking a look at the functionality of all the buildings versus how classrooms perform, what teachers need, those kinds of things, we've zeroed in. I think I'm very comfortable in saying Eugene Fields and the Early Childhood Center is going to be probably a focal point in terms of buildings, for sure.
Okay. And I know this is probably one of those things, like, it's still a long ways away, but it's probably something, you know, it's been discussed, but, you know, still gathering feedback, still, you know, trying to, you know, piece it all together. But when do you think work could start at the earliest?
We will have, our hope and our plan is to have the finalized plan ready for board adoption, either May or June of this year. And so in that plan, we're going to have phasing done. And what that means is we're going to kind of prioritize, you know, what do we see as our immediate needs, and that's going to be included in phase one. And then we'll have phase two, three, and four kind of, and so on. And the way that plan's going to look is ideally we want to kind of line that up with our debt retirement. And so, you know, if we do need to go to, you know, if we do need to go to taxpayers and, you know, ask for some kind of a bond, that it would be something to where there'd be little to no tax increase. And so we're going to kind of hopefully phase it out kind of like that. And if we follow that plan, we would look at probably starting something, really putting something together in terms of a plan, you know, building, building drawings and things like that, spring, summer of 2024.
Okay. So about a year away.
About a year away. Yep, that's accurate.
And I feel like that's all I have for the long-range plan. I know there's just so many moving pieces, but I'm a little curious, with how, I don't want to say drawn out, but, how lengthy this process is, when do you think the next long-range plan would need to come along?
Well, hopefully it wouldn't. We kind of want to design something that is sustainable, is pretty dynamic, and we'll be able to just kind of readdress this one. And so, for example, in looking at our phase one, things that are probably going to come out as our first priority, we want to address our big needs. And, obviously we're going to look at our elementary school and how we can really equip our teachers to teach in top-notch facilities and what that kind of looks like. And if we really plan it out right and, looking at some of our conceptual drawings and things like that right now, I think we can. And I feel like, being able to do all of our homework on the front end of this, this really should do a lot of our planning for the next 10 to 15 years.
Okay. Well, I know that's, something that would probably keep a lot of people's minds at ease, because it's like, I don't want to have to, do this every 5 years. Blah, blah, blah. But no, it's good to hear that, there is that kind of thought process behind of, all right, well, let's see how much we can get out of this to where we don't have to worry about this for, well over a decade. So,
absolutely. Yep.
That's really good. I put a note at the bottom of this, but is there anything else? I know this has kind of been your baby, your first year, but is there anything else on the horizon with the long range plan?
No, and that it has, and I think probably one of the reasons it's been such a priority for not only for myself but just for our Board of Education, our leadership team, is to your point, we have a CSIP, we have a strategic plan for instruction, for what goes on with the programming in our buildings. We want to have a plan that really encompasses everything that's Maryville R2. And we feel like this is kind of one of our final pieces to really put that together. And it's the responsible thing to do for taxpayers and kids and staff alike. And, we wanted to be pretty deliberate and slow in it just to make sure that we get everything in place. So, yeah.
Okay. And I made a note about a legislative update, but they're kind of in the home stretch as well, just like you guys are. So I think that'll be more of something for next month's Spoof Hound Spotlight. So if anything, it's more of a tease for people out there. I know there's a lot of bills out there that people are paying attention to. It's like, but we got to have patience, can't, chime in on something that's not law yet. So.
Absolutely. And, this time of year in the legislature, things can change by the day, and they do. Mm-hmm. I like to look at things pretty Pollyannish, and I really feel like, politics can sometimes get a little bit of a bad rap, and can understand why sometimes, but I really do think that, especially some of our local representatives, we've got very good people in Jefferson City representing Northwest Missouri. And we have good people that, we might or might not always agree on everything that is public school. But what I can tell you is, in my experience and working with our local representatives, is they care and they listen. And they want what's best for our kids, and they want what's best for our staffs and our communities. And we're in a unique area. We're not a suburban area to where people are just moving in by the droves by any means. We want to make sure that our interests in Northwest Missouri are protected. We want to make sure that our kids get the best education they possibly can. And a lot of these bills and things that are being discussed right now will have a direct impact on us. And so I really do. I do put trust in our local representatives. And if we do have to have some hard conversations, which we have, I do feel comfortable that we're listened to.
Have you ever been in a role or position in a school district? Because I feel like Maryville and almost all the school districts in this area are in a unique position, because one of your guys is the state representative for your district. So it's almost like you have one of your own in education fighting for you in the state legislature. And I'm referring to Jeff Farnan, people didn't know. But have you ever had something like that before where you're like, oh, well, this guy gets it. Like, I can talk to him, and he just gets it immediately.
You know, I have it. And it, yeah, I worked a lot. My background as a superintendent in Nebraska did not quite have this experience. And it's been great working with Jeff. And, you know, anything from him just getting my feedback and area superintendent's feedback on bills he's proposing to things that have come up, it is just welcomed. And just to be able to sit down and have dialogue and conversation with him, it's nice to have that. It really is. And be able to, and just to know that if something does come up that's going to be pretty controversial, it might even be detrimental to Maryville R2, that I can pick up a phone and at least get some feedback from him and at least be able to know that he's going to hear my concerns. So yeah, that's a good thing for sure.
All right. Well, we'll hear more about that next month. You know, I kind of want to focus now on some of the things going on in the school district. I know we got prom coming up soon. Not sure if there's too much to talk about that. I feel like prom is just kind of the same thing every year inherently, outside of, you know, students changing, you know, certain things about it.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, prom's a biggie here in Maryville. I've learned that kids take it very seriously. And when I say seriously, I mean they really kind of go to the nines on it, which is so fun to see. And that's I'm a recovering high school principal, and my two of my favorite events of the year, prom and graduation. And it's fun to see. I think you can tell a lot about a school's culture. This sounds crazy, but you can tell a lot about a school's culture by their proms and by their homecomings and some of those events, because you really get to see, you know, do kids really invest in it? Do kids really, you know, want to show up and take pride in what they do and take pride in their school? How much parent involvement do you have? How much staff involvement do you have? And I can tell you, man alive, just even sitting in my chair, not even being in the high school every day, we have got a group of parents that are going to put on this fantastic after prom. They're actually going to do it over at the field house, which will be pretty neat. That we've never done that before. We're going to be able to, I mean, just the support that we enjoy from our parents and our community and how much our kids really take pride in putting on a great prom and a great dance, it's really neat to see. And you can kind of see the Spoofhound pride, you know, even before the event. I know it's going to be a great one, and it kind of, I think our prom has a history of being a very nice event for our kids.
Now, as someone who never went to their own prom, I couldn't even tell you anything about the ones in the high school I was at. I don't know if there was like a theme. I don't know if there was like, you know, any of that. But I bring up theme because I'm like, do proms still have themes?
They do.
Okay.
And they kind of change every year, and, you know, they do the decorations and all that based on the theme and that kind of thing. And so that's always kind of, that was my, when I was a high school principal, I always kind of I never liked to go into the gym or wherever it was being held and tell the last minute, because I always kind of like to see what kids did and decorated and stuff like that. And I'm sure it'll be no different this year.
So you treat it like a bride on wedding day.
Yes, I guess you could say that.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's normal. I feel like you see a gym every day, you're like, okay, and then you're like, all right, let's see what they did to it.
Yes.
But I'm going to wait until they're finally done with it. I don't want to, you know, it's kind of like watching the Christmas tree go up. It's not exciting to watch, you know, put it the process, but the finished product is gorgeous.
You bet, yeah. And that's, I can just tell you with the parents we have involved, with our after prom and the staff, and we've got some teachers that do a phenomenal job at prom and have done for several years, and it'll be a great event for our kids.
Well, you know, great for students. You know, switching to faculty, there's a few things coming up. There's a benefit coming up, as well as a few teachers going to a conference, and I'm gonna try and say this. It's a bit of a mouthful. The International Center for Leadership and Education's Model Schools. Did I get that right?
That is a mouthful, and you got it right.
Okay,
yes.
they need to shorten it or find an acronym.
We just call it the Model Schools Conference.
Okay.
So, and to give you a little bit of background on that, it is one of the, I would call it one of the premier conferences in our country every year in education. Model Schools Conference, it is particularly aimed for teachers and administrators. Great content. It's down in Orlando, Florida, and we have the privilege, we're going to be able to send 10 this year from Maryville, and a nice thing I really enjoy is we're able to send those teachers. We're going to pay for that through a grant, a teacher retention grant, and so doesn't come out of our general fund, and those teachers are going to be able to go down there and spend time down there, and just what in terms of curriculum, in terms of resources, and I mean, you're talking about some of the, you know, some of the best research-based curriculum, instructional strategies, some of the new teaching, you know, the new technology that really can kind of assist you in the classroom. They're going to be able to see and get experience with all of those things. It's a fantastic conference, and kind of our plan, those teachers are going to come back and they're going to be able to have some opportunities to, during some of our staff meetings, our collaboration times, be able to share that with their colleagues. And so the goal is to send 10 down and bring them back and to be able to share that knowledge and to be able to put some of those great resources in our classrooms at R2.
Have you been to the conference before?
So I have not. I have sent teachers down myself before and have gotten to see all the stuff they get to bring back, and it is phenomenal. And so we've got, this year we've got, of our 10, it is 9 teachers, and then one of our, he is our student services coordinator, is going to go down as well. So really going to get a lot of bang for our buck on this one.
Okay. Is it always in Orlando?
Last year it was. And I believe most, from what I remember of the conference, every year it is in Orlando.
Okay. Huh. I wonder, is there a reason why? Other than it's warmer.
It is warmer. I really couldn't tell you that. But It's, I mean, it's a big place, and you've got, I mean, you literally have teachers from all across the country going to this. So it's a great, I mean, with among the many other benefits you get from going to something like this, it's a great networking opportunity also to, you know, if you're a high school science teacher, to be able to network with high school science teachers throughout the entire country. And just a neat, if you're a teacher, no matter what stage of your career you're in, to be able to go to something like this is really, I mean, it's a great boost in your, a great boost for your career and just something else to put in your tool belt.
And there's also a benefit coming up as well on the horizon, but I always do a little bit of research before we start this, and I hadn't seen anything about the benefit. And so I kind of want to help get the word out about that.
And I sure appreciate you allow me to do that. It is on the 29th of this month, excuse me, and it's for Martin Farnan, and the school district isn't putting it on. It's actually our area Lions clubs are putting it on. It's okay. out at the Legion in Maryville. It's Saturday afternoon. They're going to do it's going to be a pulled pork meal. They're going to do a cornhole tournament, silent auction. They're going to do a live auction that night. We actually have a flyer on our website and on social media as well. We'd love for everybody to come out. And for those of you that don't know Martin, Martin was a wonderful, wonderful man and a great employee that worked with our kids and with our staff. Gosh, I think he first started as a custodian for us in the early 90s, 91, I think. And Martin, he, you know, just tragically, he was diagnosed with cancer and lost a battle with cancer, and it was a pretty aggressive form of cancer. It didn't, you know, by the time he got diagnosed, the time he passed, it wasn't a whole lot of time, but not focusing on that, just focusing on the impact Martin had on so many kids and adults, just such a incredibly kind man. And, you know, I can just speak from, I've been in the district for 7 months, and being able to work with him for 7 months, just, he was one of those that the first time you met him just made you feel welcome, made you feel, you know, like you belonged, and just a special person. And so we want to be able to kind of spread that word. You know, it's, the school isn't the one organizing. We've got some folks that are, you know, helping out with it, but he was also a very dedicated Lion. And so the Lions Club, they do a fantastic job, Pickering and Maryville Lions Club and host Lions and everything, and they've done a great job with organizing it, but we certainly want to be able to participate and encourage all of our staff members, all of our families, if they're able to shake free that afternoon, come enjoy some great food and for a great cause.
Well, I hope you got everybody a pulled pork and cornhole. That's, yes. It sounds like a great event. I hope everyone checks it out. So, you know, Lions Club, Maryville School District, social media, all that. Look for the flyer. Look for all the information and try and make it out next month.
It's on the 29th of April.
Okay, never mind.
It's a Saturday.
Okay. So that will be coming up. Hopefully everybody can make it out.
It actually, we've got a big April 29th. So that's in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to misspeak, but I believe they've got a early afternoon is when they'll start serving food, and they've got cornhole going on all that whole day. But that morning, is our annual Speedy Spoof Hound.
Yes.
And so anybody that, I think my wife's a little bit more of a runner than I, but she's going to, hopefully if we can make our schedules work, we're going to bring our family out to that. But it's a 5K and a 1 mile fun run. And so we're going to start at Eugene Field. And that also, we've got registration on our website there too. And Erica Jeter is the one that kind of puts that together for us at Eugene Field. And she's, if you have any questions, you can certainly email or contact her. But we would love to see a great showing out there for our Speedy Spoof Hound run. And it should be a really, really great time.
Yeah, and we're doing a 5K as well, not stomp on your guys' toes or anything, but there is the Fit Family Challenge that's going on right now, where you can sign up for three individual 5Ks and enter into a drawing, I believe. And so that is available as well, so just wanted to throw that out. Speedy Spoof Hound 5K, as well as the KXCV Karen W Run for Radio 5K, so a lot. And I believe the Abbey Trails 5K is next month as well, so this is a weird time of year. I don't remember any point in my life where 5Ks became like this big event that people did, but I'm not taking anything away from that because, you know, it's always for good causes. So,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
It's not like someone said, hey, let's just go run and drink beer and give me money. Like, no, it's all for good causes. So, you know, if you have the stamina, I don't. I'm one of those people that would have to walk it. But if you have the stamina, you know, walk, run, whatever, plenty of 5Ks in the area to sign up for good causes. You know, looking at the home stretch, you know, I don't know in terms of when we record next month, but, you know, in the home stretch for not only graduation, but summer school enrollment.
You bet, yes. So Summer Journeys enrollment is open. We're gearing up. Actually, last night our board meeting approved our first batch of teachers for Summer Journey, and that's open for students kindergarten through eighth grade. And we've got registration open through May the 1st. And so encourage if you do want a registration form or interested in having your student participate in that, call up to Eugene Field and we can get you signed up. And we certainly want to extend a great learning opportunity for our kids. It's in terms of the curriculum, I think I've talked about this before, it's a full school day, but it is packed with just some great hands-on engaging learning activities. We've got prizes for students. We've got incentives for students that have great attendance or even perfect attendance. I think if you make it every day and have perfect attendance, you get a $100 gift card at the end and lots of nice incentives.
Oh, man. Yeah. All I got was called a nerd for showing up every day. I didn't get $100.
It is the thing to do. I would anticipate we're going to have a couple hundred students at least sign up for it.
Oh, that's a great incentive. I feel like the incentive is like, if you're going to be going to summer school, you should at least show up every day.
Yes.
Especially, I think it also helps if all your friends are at summer school. Because I had a few summers at summer school, and, you know, the thing that made it just like pass by was just friends, as it does for the regular school year.
You bet.
But no, summer school's a good thing to have in the community up here because, you know, it's better than causing trouble, I guess, around town.
You bet.
But, you know, is there anything else going on in the school district that you'd like to mention? I know sports is kind of winding down.
You know, no, we've got, and sports is, I'm really excited for, gosh, our spring sports are just, they are humming, and we've got, team-wise, we are in great positions, and I could go through every single one of our spring sports teams, but from, excuse me, golf to girls soccer to track, I mean, to baseball, we are hitting strides in a lot of ways, and so I'm kind of excited. Postseason is going to start here not too long, and I'm excited to see what we do and the Spoof Hounds do in postseason, because I think next month we're going to be talking about some pretty neat accomplishments.
Yeah, it'd be great to see, you know, how many students or teams, you know, excel or make it to state or win it all at state. Or yeah. It'll be great to see. And then, of course, you know, see what they're going to do, you know, not only for the potentially for the school district next year, but maybe, you know, collegiate.
Absolutely.
So yep. That'll be fun to look at. But is there anything else going on around the school district you want to talk about?
Gosh, Jeremy, like I said, I think we're winding down. It's been a great year, and that's a testament to the great teachers we have, and that's a testament to the leadership in our buildings every day. And so, certainly is a great time to be a spoof hound.
All right. Well, with that being said, I guess we'll switch to the final segment of the show, which is to better know you, to better know a superintendent segment.
Always my favorite.
I was going to say district. And I was like, that's not right. But, you know, April is kind of, I call it my halfway to Halloween month, mainly because it is halfway to Halloween and because I go to a horror festival and watch a bunch of horror movies for a week.
Nice.
So I guess I'm not going to ask about horror movies in particular, but, what scared you as a kid, but doesn't anymore? I feel like that could be almost anything. 'Cause like I had an irrational fear of werewolves, even though they don't exist.
Oh, yeah?
But if I had to think of a real... I was always afraid of bees as a kid. And I don't know why. I didn't watch My Girl, so I didn't have a fear of dying or anything.
No Thomas J., okay. Oh, gosh. So it's not a thing I was afraid of. I'm going to go back to the horror movies. When I was a kid, my parents wouldn't let me watch the gore movies or anything like that, but... You know, if I went to a friend's house and spent the night or whatever, you know, got to watch the Friday the 13th, those kinds of movies,
mm-hmm.
absolutely terrified me. Like, I would sleep at the foot of my bed. I would, you know, it would just scare me to death. And for whatever reason, a year or so ago, one of those movies happened to be on, and I just watched like 10 minutes of it and wonder how in the world were you scared by something like that. But definitely the 80s horror movies that for whatever reason at the time just terrified me to the core, but just not so much anymore.
So one of my aunts who was kind of a teen of that era said that the Nightmare on Elm Street movies really freaked them out.
Yes.
Because like that was just one of those things like... You know, it always went after where you were more likely to be, a summer camp or babysitting,
yes.
But in your dreams.
Or sleeping, yes. Yeah. In fact, if I had to choose between the most frightening movie series, it would definitely go on The Nightmare on Elm Street. Didn't see many of them. Like I said, my parents kind of, they weren't big fans of that. But if I ever got to watch one, my sleep got affected, you know, like I was terrified for weeks.
I also didn't like marionette puppet things as a kid.
Yes.
I've recovered, but that's kind of evolved into, is it Uncanny Valley where you don't like something that looks human but it isn't?
I believe that's correct, yes.
I have that issue now as an adult. And it's not necessarily I'm afraid of it, I just don't like it. Like, I can't watch... I know a lot of people love this Christmas movie. I may have mentioned this before, but I can't watch Polar Express.
I didn't know that.
Just the humanness of all the characters. Like, they're trying to make them look too realistic for me.
I just don't like it.
Okay.
I can totally
I'm sure
that.
It's a great movie.
Yep.
It's just what, like... and this even bugged me during a movie I did like. Star Wars Rogue One, if anybody's watched that. They do like a computer generated animated like Princess Leia because Carrie Fisher had passed away. Mm-hmm. So they did this completely like CGI. This is what she looked like. And immediately as soon as I saw it, I'm like, don't like it. Don't like it. And it just took me out of the movie. And I'm sure Polar Express is a great film. It's a great book. But I don't want to watch it just because I'll be like, I'm not going to enjoy it.
And I'd like to thank you now, because every time I watch that movie, I'm going to think about that when I see the characters. So,
well, I mean, it's still a cute movie.
It is, yes. Always a good one around Christmas.
But the other question I thought of, and I always have a running list in my mind, but if you'd use only one condiment for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Okay. To answer your question with a question.
All right.
Do you consider ranch a condiment? And if so, case closed.
I feel like I have to.
Yeah.
In the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like on the coasts, people would go, no, that's just salad dressing.
Yeah.
No, that's totally a condiment.
Yeah. If it were socially acceptable, I'd carry ranch with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, ranch.
I mean, it needs to be refrigerated as well.
Well... Yeah, you're probably right. But what can you not put ranch dressing on? It makes it better.
I would say ice cream, but they just released that ranch ice cream. Have you seen that?
I have not.
I don't know if it's like Hidden Valley or something. One of the professors in our building, Jason Offit, tasted it on his Instagram or something, I think. But I've seen a few people try it. It does not look good. Something about just ice cold creamy ranch does not sound good. But I've seen a few people who will get a chicken wing and dip it into the ice cream and then eat it. And then they go, oh, well, that works.
I could see that working.
Especially if it's like a buffalo, hot wing or something. Mm-hmm. And you just
neutralize the spice.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, thanks for the tip with Matt Tretton on the Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So we've been trading Seinfeld barbs. And in fact, we were at a banquet last weekend, and I tried to pull the George Costanza exit. And I think he was the only one that got it.
Now, have you pulled a quote that he hasn't gotten yet?
Not.
Okay.
I think we could go tit for tat on that one, and I don't think either one of us would be able to one-up the other.
Now, not to go back to condiments, but would you say barbecue sauce is a condiment?
Yes.
Okay.
And that'd be a close second to ranch.
And I feel like the Midwest is just very unique in this, because if you go to like a barbecue place or, you ask for a salad anywhere, like on the coasts or anything, it's just ranch and barbecue sauce are not at the top of their minds. Like,
no.
I even went to, there's a barbecue place I went to in San Diego where I had to ask for barbecue sauce with it. They're like, oh, there's some on it. I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to need more. So it's definitely a Midwest thing. We just gave the most Midwest answer to the best condiment ever.
Yep. And it's because the people on the coast, sheltered lives, whatever the case might be, but they're clearly not living their best lives.
Yeah. Well, maybe the better question would be mustard or ketchup?
Mustard.
I would too. Yeah. Ketchup is almost too acidic and sweet for me now.
Yeah. Mustard, it's kind of like a Switzerland. It can go,
And it's also not bad with chili dogs.
Nope, not at all. Yep, I'd agree.
Just a thing to throw out there. So if anybody is listening, we have decided to declare that ranch barbecue sauce and mustard with chili dogs is the way to go.
Amen.
And then, of course, I always thought ketchup was popular, but it's just not as popular as it used to be, I guess.
Eh.
But, all right, well, I guess that's it for, unless there's anything else you want to talk about, I think that's it.
Jeremy, great coming by and visiting as always.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.